Hello and welcome to the Art Department Podcast, episode 36 with Emmanuel Xu and myself, Jan Urschel. And today we're talking about an interesting topic. We both watched recently a documentary called The Price of Everything. It's about the art world, the fine art world, the market behind it, the artists. It features a lot of interesting interviews with the artists themselves, art dealers, employees of auction houses, and also the art collectors. And I think there was actually so much in that documentary that we actually thought, hey, we should talk about this. We should make an episode about this. So maybe if you want to get the most out of this, stop the podcast right now, go watch the documentary, and then turn back on here. And I think we wanted to call this episode maybe What is Art? What is art all about? Let's see where this takes us. This is going to be more of a free flow discussion, I think. There's a lot of topics we're going to touch on. And of course, it has to do with the whole NFT thing as well. But I don't know. What did you think?
Well, first of all, it's available on HBO. So anybody who has HBO, go watch it. Regardless, it's going to be a great, you know, it's going to be a great watch. Also, we're planning to do a Clubhouse, you know, later on Tuesday so that we can discuss this. So we'll see if that how that works. So in terms of, where do we start? I mean, you know, a definition of what art is. What is art? So I mean, what is art to you?
I don't know. I think it's a. After watching the documentary, I mean, you recommended it to me, and then I watched it, yeah. I think there's some similarities of what we see in the traditional fine art world and in this new digital fine art world, but I think what we thought about it and thought about what should we talk about, and should we talk more about just NFTs or should we talk about something different? But I think it really made us think about going even further back, going even further down the rabbit hole to think about what is art and does it mean to us? What does it mean to people at large? I mean, to me, if I think about art, it's very difficult. I think maybe because I don't see myself as an artist. I mean, for me, art is really anything that I can, that I can have some sort of like appreciation for. Like, it doesn't, like, for me, art doesn't need to be anything else but art. It doesn't need to have any function. It doesn't, like for example, like, we're designers, right? So we always think about functionality and problem solving. But I mean, for me, art has a separate space. It can be something visual. It can be something that I listen to, or otherwise, like, it's a sensory experience, right? And it doesn't need to be anything else but itself. And if it does that, and I can appreciate that, and whether I like it or not, I guess that is kind of art for me. Maybe the definition needs to be devoid of any function or something like that. I don't know. What about you?
So for me, I've had many, many discussions with my wife, heated discussions. For me, basically, art is simply self-expression, right? So if you feel like you've done something and you've self-expressed and it's with intention, I feel like you can call that art. But for me personally, I feel like I have a struggle between how much skill is used in art. And this is my own baggage, right? Because I've been trained as, you know, a designer, slash artist or whatever. I've gone to school. I've done all those things, you know, because when I was talking to my wife, she was like, well, what about the people that just, they self-express and they just do art and they did some squiggles with no skill? Is that art? Because they've expressed, right? So it's a bigger question and it's hard to answer because there's, you know, it's subjective. And that's also part of why this industry is basing a lot of their decision making on something that's completely subjective.
Right? What about, I mean, there's the thing about maybe next step, like what is good art? I mean, that is that in the eye of the beholder? Is that really truly something you need to define for yourself? And but I mean, what about other people? What about that is something that maybe you don't put any, like let's say it's a squiggle and you don't think this has any value, it has no skill involved or whatever, but it hangs in a gallery and it has a price tag of a few million dollars. Does something become art if a gallery exhibits it or enough people in the public agree on that it is art? Is there a factor of a public consensus making something into art even though you don't think it is?
Well, that's a good question, because you know, when I was talking to my wife, because I keep talking to my wife about
you
this,
should keep talking to your wife. Yes.
Yeah, because she's an artist. But what I've found out is that first, I never considered myself as an artist. Mm. You know that. Mm. And I consider myself a designer, just like you, that's capable of doing sort of the technical side of things. And when NFTs came out, I thought, wow, okay. I had always tried to do a lot of personal work. I've always tried to say something. This is now my chance. So it was my chance to go into the digital art world. And before I knew it, I was finding out that, to your question, when people are saying it's art and putting monetary value, does that make it art? And I'm finding more and more that, yes, if you want to just purely look at the marketplace, yes, okay, they're trading it like commodity, right? Mm. They're buying it, selling it. Mm. It's a commodity. And they're calling certain things art because for whatever reason. They like it. They like the color. And then they want to call it art, whatever. It's arbitrary, really. Mm. It's all subjective. Mm. They pick whatever they have and they'll weave a story behind it and they'll call it art. And then that piece of art will keep selling and keep appreciating because that's what this engine of the art market wants it to be. Mm. But is it art to me personally? That's a big question, right? Because like you said, art is art. So if art is art, then how can art be good art? Art is art, right? It's an all-encompassing one word. It's not art is good art. Art is pretty good art. Art is excellent art. You know, there's no subcategories. It's either art or not.
That's how it should be. Yeah.
But isn't that the age? You know, like it's been, this question has been debated forever. Mm. And you can look at certain art and say, well, you know, that doesn't take any skill. But if you feel something when you see it, you know, so there's a lot of these things, but I find myself navigating these waters because I truly want to say something with what I'm doing. Mm. And I truly want to be an artist. And I am an artist. I mean, I really feel like I am now. I'm not a designer. Like that's part of what I do for work, but I want to say something. So therefore, I'm an artist. It's just what's hard is seeing the business side of it. And that's when you look at the price of everything and it's showing you right smack center. Because it follows, what it does is it follows at the beginning this artist named Larry Poons. And he's like sort of your true artist, right? He's in his shed. He's painting. He doesn't care about money. He doesn't care about who buys it, who doesn't buy it. And then it's contrasted by Jeff Koons. Mm. Is it?
Yeah.
Koons?
Yeah.
Because their two names are so similar. Yeah. I keep, Koons and Koons. And so, and he's the ultimate salesman, right? Mm. I mean, I just look at him, I'm like, you got to be kidding. Like he is he really treating me like a child? Like he's actually talking to me, trying to sell me in this video about what he's doing. I mean, he's literally, he has a crew of people painting an image that he wants painted, and then another one over there, another one over there. And he's trying to make sense of it when someone's asking him, like, you know, what's going on? And he's going, well, if I was just painting it myself, I would just paint one a year. So that's no good. I got to paint more. I got to do more. See, there's just extension of me. And then you see all these people in the background, like, painting and matching paint, and I'm like, you just didn't say that to me. He's even selling that to the viewer. You mm-hmm. know, what did you think about that?
It's a part of the fine art market, which of course a lot of people don't know, right? I mean, it was a very interesting juxtaposition of Larry Kunz, who's like who doesn't want to be only doing the same thing, who doesn't want to be put in a niche and put in a category, and then say like mm-hmm. because later on in the documentary there's this thing about like that he kind of dropped off, and I think it came basically down to that he didn't want to do the same thing that he had success with maybe in the 80s or 90s, and then he kind of took mm-hmm. a step away from that and wanted just to do his own thing. Whereas Jeff Koons mm-hmm. was like mm-hmm. he was like a Wall Street banker kind of turned into an artist, and kind of like Wolf of Wall Street style sales techniques that you can still hear when he talks. And I mean, it's the same with, I think, other big artists like Ai Weiwei or whatever. Like, they're putting on big shows. They're putting on, like, huge gallery shows. And there's a lot of money involved that these galleries pay these artists to then sell to investors and art collectors and to make their money back, right? But in order to, like, constantly have, like, huge, like, shows and galleries and like, every couple of years to have that, then there is just no humanly possible way to do that by yourself. So yes, these big artists, these famous artists, especially the ones that work with like sculptures and a lot of installations and that kind of stuff, they have an army of people working for them. They don't do the art themselves. They're more like a director overseeing the vision. And that's part of it, right? I mean, again, does that mean like Jeff Koons is less of an artist? I don't know. Like, is Stanley Kubrick less of a Kubrick because he doesn't actually do any of the work himself, or like I don't know, right? It's a good question, and something I don't have any answer to. It's just part of the reality of the art market, right?
Absolutely, and I think it's one of those things that we're not going to have an answer. It's one of those things where you have to come up with your own answer mm. and your own point of view. And, you know, we're just discussing our point of view, mm. obviously. Hopefully, we'll get to hear, you know, our audience's point of view and see what they have to say about that. But I think this is super relevant to the times that we're in now, because basically, I had a rude awakening because I had no clue what art, fine art market is. I didn't know that. What trading art? Mm. Like, collectors buying and selling mm-hmm. art? Like, because I was really naive. I thought, well, if someone bought my art, it's because they like it. And if they like it, they're going to keep it, right? I was stupid. And it doesn't work like that. Mm. And I had to be awakened to this fact. And you know, watching The Price of Everything really kind of shook me, because I was like, wow, this is exactly what we're going through now. And I read a lot on, you know, sort of the, you know, even just my friends or people that are writing on online are having these sort of issues mm. and wondering, like, you know, what is this world I'm in? Because we've never been in the fine art market or in the fine art world. And it really messes with you, because you're looking at things that are like, really, that? Like, that thing over there is selling for 30, 50, 60 ETH, a selfie for 30 ETH. What?
Yeah, or like,
you know, like, and I'm literally, I'm not kidding. The other day I saw it, I was like, a selfie? Like, I was like, and here I am trying to really make art that matters and says this and says that. And I'm like, are you kidding me? What? And then I find that some of my stuff that has been bought is being sold again. And I'm like, what? Like, I felt bad. Mm. I felt like someone didn't want my artwork. Mm. But that's not the case. It's not that people don't want your artwork. They just want to make a profit.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
That's all it is. And I had to get to the point where, you know, I was wondering, you know, I kept arguing with my wife, saying, hey, no, there are collectors that care. And she kept saying to me, No. That's like the minority. I'm like, no, they care. And I'm finding that it is the minority. Truth, I've been in so many clubhouse rooms, talked to so many collectors, and I'll tell you, it's not that they care or not care, right? If they got to choose, if their favorite color is pink and they have two paintings in front of them, one is pink, one is blue, well, they're gonna pick the pink one, right? Because that's sort of their favorite color. But beyond that, I'm not sure that the collectors, how many collectors are really looking at this academically or looking at it as a you know, skilled piece of art. I think they're just going by feel. This one, yeah, I like it, so I'm going to spend this. And they think they're looking at the potential and the brand of the person behind the piece. I mean, this is, they're telling me this directly, and they're saying, look, we're looking at the brand, we're looking at the potential, and then, you know, all that equals an amount. And if we feel like that amount is not too much and we can resell it later on, then we're going to do that.
Exactly.
And there are some collectors that have actually messaged me saying that they do appreciate what I do. Just a few who have bought my pieces, and that has made me feel like, okay, at least there's a little bit of hope. But it was very, very hard for me to deal with the fact, like, why are you guys putting my paintings up for sale? That's horrible. Like, and in Super Rare, it's very, very, like, transparent. You can see it, like, you know, I mean, one person even put it up for like five times the price they bought it for, and I'm like, okay. I mean, everybody's like, yeah, you're going to get secondary sales. If it sells, great, great. I'm like, oh, it doesn't feel good. You know, I don't know. What do you think about all that?
I don't know. I haven't been in that position yet, but I mean.
Oh, but you don't know if someone's reselling yours on Foundation, though, right?
Oh,
you don't
maybe. Know that. Yeah, maybe not.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that part for me was already, I think I was quite clear on that a lot of people are just buying it to flip it, right? And it's about looking good as an investment, right? You have to, just the same way that you invest in a stock, right? You're going to look at the past performance of the company, whether or not you think the price is going to go up, if they're going to do well, what else they have planned in the future and the next, like in the near future, what kind of iPhone they're going to release. Like, you make your decision on whether or not to invest in a certain company based on those decisions. And the same way they look at you, right? I mean, not everybody, right? Not every investor does that, but some do. And there's some people who appreciate the art, but the problem is, right, that now really you don't, the people who appreciate the art, I feel like they're still going to be more drawn towards the traditional art world, because they then actually have something to hang on their walls and appreciate, or a sculpture to put there, right? Whereas in this space, it becomes a bit removed, because you don't really have anything. You can print something out, but it wouldn't feel the same way, because you don't have a nice frame and you don't kind of appreciate the this and that, right? So if you spend $1,000 on an NFT, that's not cheap, but again, you don't get anything for it. You can expect like a $20 print maybe to hang on your wall. But so I see it a bit more calculated in that sense. And yeah, if you don't look like a good investment, then nobody's going to buy your stuff. And it's as simple as that. It's not nice, but I guess that's just how it works. Or it will be for some time, because, I mean, you have to also see that I think the people who are initially drawn to the NFT world are the people, excuse me, that had experience with cryptocurrencies, and that maybe even made a lot of money with Bitcoin and other currencies, and maybe they live in a very fast-paced world. I don't know. Maybe they got rich fast, and now they want to jump onto the next vehicle. Maybe they feel like the, I don't know, their early adopter mindset has served them well in the last 10 years getting onto Bitcoin. And now they're looking for the next big thing to grow their wealth, right? So, I mean, and we're just part of that. We're kind of stumbling into it. So I don't necessarily have any illusions.
It's funny how, the, you know, in that documentary, The Price of Everything, I mean, they it's basically the same thing. The collectors are just buying, you know, at exorbitant prices. Of course, you know, that one collector keeps saying, well, how much this has grown, how much that's grown. And, you know, at some point, you know, it's a flipping game. And that's really, it's all about money in the end. And I think I came from it from a very naive point of view. Mm-hmm. You know, I just kept thinking art, great. You know, if it's great, if I pour my heart into it and it's skilled, it looks good, it's great, you know, and it's not necessarily the case. But ultimately it still needs to grab that one collector that wants to get it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, whether it's physical art or digital art, it still has to grab that one person. But you know, there's no rules. I mean, the person, there could be a painting that you'd be like, wow, what is that? And it may gravitate. And more, you know, the more I hear, the more we discuss, you know, in a lot of these groups, it's, you know, it's about some of the content is kind of a, you know, that's going to get some looks, you know, mm-hmm. colorful, mm-hmm. you know, things. So, you know, do you conform and make certain kinds of art? Mm. And I know that, you know, I've been making a lot of original art in the last month. Mm. And stuff that spoke to me. So I, you know, luckily they have been picked up, but I mean, you know, I think it's sometimes this, you always have to ask the question of, you know, what are they getting it for? And, you know, more often than not, it's going to be for an investment like you're talking about, right? I mean, you know, they have a whole bunch of ETH. They're thinking, well, let me spend some of this, and they'll just get whatever. And that one, you know, has been sold a lot for like high prices. I'm going to get that one, you know, so that I can sell it for higher prices. Mm. But I mean, the art itself might be something they don't even like. You know, understand, possibly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think a lot of also, you know, I'm looking at here a lot of things that aren't talked about, which is like, I remember a certain part in the documentary where they're saying it was an art Basel, right? Mm. And the artist, I think somebody asked, is the artist here?
Mm.
And they said, no. And it's thank goodness the artists aren't here. And the whole point of that is that the artists have agents, mm. right? And they have agents, and the agents help them with all the BS, because they also understand the artists need to be artists, right? They mm. need to create. And if the artists don't, you know, also have to handle going to these art basels and selling and talking to different collectors, they'll go insane.
Yeah.
So, but I was thinking of, in this NFT art world, there is no agent.
Mm.
So you have to be that agent. And I'm telling you from my own experience, that's what's burning me out.
Mm.
Because I find myself constantly on Twitter trying to sort of talk and chat people up. You know, this is things I wouldn't do normally as a person. And I kept thinking, wow, what if you were an introvert? What if you just don't like doing that?
Mm.
Does that make your art obsolete?
Yeah.
Because no one sees it?
Yeah.
And I feel like, man, all the times, I mean, you know, you had to do it. I mean, we all have to do it to try to get people to see your stuff, because you don't say anything on Foundation, it's going to be gone like that. So you have to keep, you know, like talk to collectors. How do you talk to somebody without being fake? Because you're talking to them because of why? Because ultimately, in the end, you want them to buy your painting.
Mm.
So you're starting from it from not a very genuine place anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big problem. So, I mean, I think one of the biggest takeaways that I had in terms of the overall documentary, that just exactly what you mentioned, that the artist could really focus on the art most of the time. And now everything is getting mixed up, and it's kind of the thing that that Ben said, I think, when he came on, that it's like, oh, it's so great, we get a bigger cut now, And we don't have to pay 50% to the gallery or the agent or whatever else in order to get our stuff sold. I'm just trying to think it in my head, right? It's like, I mean, yes, 50-50.
I prefer paying that 50%.
50-50 never sounds great, but I mean, it really protects the artist to think more freely, right? I mean, of course, the agent is going to come back and say like, oh, hey, this stuff was sold really well. Like, can you make more of that, right? Because the agent wants a cut, the gallery wants to have a cut, and the gallery wants to put up stuff that sells. If you suddenly break with your tradition and you do something completely different, and suddenly people are going to come to the Emmanuel Shoe Gallery Show 2022, and they're like, what the hell is that, right? It's like, that makes no sense. It is not going to sell. Like all the usual suspects are going to go like, what the hell, right? Only people who really like you as a brand, they're going to continue to invest in it, right? But even for them, it's going to be a gamble, right? And that really, I mean, this whole point resonated with me really strongly. And that kind of really still keeps me from thinking like, what is this NFT space, right? I mean, yes, you get 90%, 95% of what you sell, but then you really have to...
Well, no, actually, you're more like 85.
Yeah, well, it depends on the platform, right? Yeah. So let's say...
At least 15.
Yeah,
though,
yeah, yeah. 85% yeah. Then. But yeah, then you need to do everything else, right? Like you said, if you're on Twitter, fantastic. If you don't mind like putting up the same kind of like for sale, constantly to be seen. And then like, as people say, like, oh, you need genuine interaction. I don't know how genuine that can be if the only reason you're on Twitter is to sell something, right? And then it's like, oh, you need interaction. Exactly. with the investor. You need to invest your own time into the investor so that, like, why would he invest in you if you don't invest in him, right? Is what you told me. And it makes total sense. But then you really need to, like where are you going to take all the time? It's like you need time to create new interesting artwork, and you need to also take the time to market, to sell, to talk to these people. And it's crazy. I mean, again, it's a different kind of job. If you want to, like, I think it just comes down to like, do you really want to do that? Because if you want to do that, you need to go all in. You can't just do this on the sidelines and hope to make a quick buck. It's not going to work. Right, you have to be, I think, really convinced, no, to that you want to do this. Whatever your motivation behind this is, maybe you believe in digital art in that degree, in NFTs and the crypto space, or maybe you just believe in money and you want to, but then you need to make that your full time job, right, and really go all in. And it's something you need to make. I think it's something you need to discuss with yourself basically, and make up your mind if that is something you want. There was this thing again, Ben said that, now you can truly focus on your personal art and get paid for it. I mean, I don't see it that way at all.
Well, let me just answer the first part of that, because you know, I think you can come in as a sort of a cash in, cash grab, whatever you want to call it, and run, right? You can do that because some people have notoriety, right? They have a following. Mm. They have, you know, certain, you know, people are banking on you, like, oh, well, this guy's a famous, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to pick up a couple of his pieces. So if you want to just come in and hit and run, you can do that. Mm. If you want it to be a longer term thing, that's going to really take some work. And in this space, I feel like, you know, like I said, you know, how genuine are you if you already come with it with already an intent of buy my stuff, right? Mm. So you have to now find the collectors, you know, well, first you have to build your brand, right? Because the more clear your brand is, the more they can, you know, get behind you. And then the more they can say, okay, well, this art and you in this space makes sense, and then they'll invest in you, right? You also have to have this kind of, you know, talk between you two. And I've talked to a lot of artists that are successful in the space right now, and they all have one thing in common, is they're great salesmen.
Hmm.
They really know how to talk. And I, you know, that's what I'm finding out about me, is I really suck at talking to collectors. I mean, I just thank them. And then I don't know what else to say. Like, I don't know. So in the end, I just want to go back and just let me go back and say what I need to say in my dark room and do what I need to do. And then I'll come out with the next series of pieces. But it doesn't work like that. They want to make sure, you know, you can talk and you're this person and all this. But in the end, now I'm just like, I'm just going to put my stuff out there. You like it, you like it. You don't like it, you don't like it. You see it, you see it. If you don't see it, well, so be it. I mean, I will post, okay, this is up, but I'm not going to go to it. You know, like those posts, like every post, like, show me your art. And, you know, God, it's like, oh. At first, I was susceptible to that. And then, but I'm in the end, I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do that anymore. Like, here's my stuff. If you like it, you like it. And hopefully, you know, there's some algorithm that maybe hopefully you'll bump across it at some point. I'll do my best to advertise it, but, you know, enough of this. Because you go look at those show posts. I mean, there's at least always between 500 to 700 replies with their art, like boom, 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 boom. And it's like, if I was a collector, how the hell am I going to look through 700 of these? And I don't, what am I going to try to find out each person and whether you're viable? I mean, oh my God, forget it. You know, that's why I'm like, in the end, I just took a step back and said, you know, I'm just still going to create what I create. I don't think that's ever going to change. And hopefully this market will have a place for me because I am an artist. I want to do this, but there's only so much I can do before I go insane. And I think that's why the agent thing is so attractive. I'll give you that extra 30%. I'll give it to you. It's worth it for me. Because then I really, then it's back to your point, right, on Ben and what he was saying, right? Like you can spend more time doing art. And it sounded great until I got into it. And I was like, for me, it's not quite like that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, continue with your point, though.
No. I mean, that's exactly my point. I mean, it's like maybe I have a different approach to personal work. I mean, for me, personal work really means like it's personal, and it's not something that I want to, not something I can just make and upload and then advertise myself with it. That's for me not the point of personal work. It's artwork I would create that even though I like, even if I would never upload it. That I'm just happy doing for myself, right? I mean, there's other people that feel like, okay, personal work for me is just something I can, so I don't have to wait for the client to approve the work and release the, like the NDA has to lapse, the project has to come out, and then I can upload it. So I just create something personal, like, but I use the exact same steps and same approach as I would for client work, so I just can show it and advertise myself with it. But for me, personal work is very different, maybe in that sense. But it's really,
I guess the question would be, would you create this if you had no NFTs? Would you create this piece of artwork?
Yeah, exactly, right? That's what I would still do. And I mean, for me, it was like, should I really try this personal work and then really try to sell it through NFTs? Like, does that make sense? Because I mean, I think the dream of everybody is that I just want to do whatever I want to do without any considerations for any monetary gain, and then I would be the happiest. But of course, that just doesn't work. What is it? You can't eat your pie and have it too. It's not gonna work. It's completely impossible. I think it's incompatible. because again, like if you're trying to do
way to squash dreams, man.
No, but I think it just doesn't work, and you need to again, maybe it's just my approach, right? I mean, other people maybe say like, oh, I'm happy to work on very commercial stuff. Even my own personal taste is very much aligned with commercial projects, so I'm happy doing Godzilla fan art. And that's just my dream fulfillment, and that's cool, right? I honestly am very envious of people who do that, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But for me, I'm terrible. I really have this urge, this thing that I really despise what's popular. That I want to, like, once something becomes popular, I don't like it anymore. I want to go into something completely different that has like a very small group of people that appreciate it. And
yeah, because you find more romanticism and yeah, more yeah, of an art form weird, if it's indie. You know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's,
no,
it's
no,
really
it's not weird.
Weird. And so I always tend to go in a direction which is completely different from what I usually do, and then therefore will not give me any monetary gain whatsoever. And that's what I'm drawn to. And for me, it becomes very difficult to follow that and to do that kind of stuff, because I know I'm not going to be able to make any money from it. And at the end of the day, you still need to make money. You need to live.
But I mean, I don't know that I would put such an absolute to that. Obviously,
it's a personal preference.
It's true,
thing, right?
True to you. And I wouldn't ever say that it's never possible. But it is a very hard road, and it's rare.
I mean,
and for some select people, we can't all be people, right? I mean, you know, some people are going to have an easier time because it's you know, everything is clicked. You know, like it's the right timing, it's the right kind of art. It's, you know, he had made 10 years of every day's whatever. But even Beeple himself will say, "Hey, I my art is not even that great." It's a lot of combination of factors. He's very he's a very smart person. He brands himself well. People can get behind him. Most of these artists have this going for them, and they have a very, very, very distinctive art style that you can tell from a mile away.
I mean,
and that's why I think a lot of us are having a little bit of a harder time because all of our stuff looks like photographs sometimes, and they don't know what they're looking at. It's not like some pink thing that is standing out and you can see it from a mile away. It's almost like, what am I looking at here? So I think for a lot of people, it's, you know, this is probably, I mean, it's just food for thought, right? It's, I never will say never. There's always going to be success stories, and I think this can evolve into something that actually is quite positive for digital art. It's just that I think we're finding our foothold right now and trying to see what it is. But at the very moment, I am just saying what my experience is in terms of, like, it's, you know, I went through a lot of roller coasters and emotions, finally ended up on the other end saying, you know, I have to be about what I'm about, which is making art that matters to me. And that's all. And I cannot look at, you know, someone's selfie selling for 30 ETH or someone's low effort NFT over there selling for a ton. I can't look at that noise anymore. And I can't pitch to any of these collectors anymore because I don't know them. I can't get to know them because half of them, they're anonymous. I remember one person I said, "Hey, thanks for your offer. What's your name?" And he wouldn't tell me. So, you know, just, you know, not even a first name. And I get people need privacy, but it's just, it gets to a point where how much can I know about you? I can't. So in the end, I mean, I just do what I do. And hopefully, if no one gets it, I did that piece and I'm happy with it. It has to be at least that. And if someone picks it up, great. I mean, I can't. That is about where I am.
But it's very hard to be in that mindset. It's very, very hard.
And you know, I've called you many times. Like,
and I've known the same. I mean, it's like, it's very hard. For me, the hardest thing is just to prioritize, right? I'm like, okay, should I spend my time on doing this client job, this thing that I know will generate me money? Or should I spend it just completely on myself, right? There needs to be a balance. And I mean,
it's so unrealistic, don't you think, though? I mean, when you see the price tag that's going along with some of this stuff.
Yeah, I know. It's
you're doing the math and you're going, oh my God, that day rate is insane. It's like five times my day rate. But you don't look at all the stress that you're going through. All the, why isn't he buying that? Even, you know, blah, 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 blah. And in the end, when you put it all together, is it worth it?
Yeah, it's a different kind of, I mean, the thing is, at least that keeps me doing client work, is that I kind of know how to approach that. I know how to deal with these people. I know how to, I know how to solve this problem, right? I can approach it. But the other thing, it feels like lottery. I mean, it's like a high effort lottery. I don't know. But it's really tricky for me. And again, like it's the, do I spend more time on my personal work? Like how much of it? And because it's not going to be enough just to do. I feel like if I would have to get into the NFT space more, then it would take the space of the client work. It would not take the space of the personal work I would be doing. And so in the end, it's like, do I really want that? I mean, the thing is, right, as quickly as the NFT thing came, it can disappear as quickly as well. Maybe it's there for the long haul, maybe. But I think there's an equally high chance that it might go away because of something we don't know yet is coming in 6 months, 6 years time, right? Whereas the whole making art for a client kind of thing has been around for a lot longer, right? And I think it also depends on how well you can navigate that world, whether or not an NFT really looks that attractive, I think. But maybe,
well, I mean, I think NFTs won't go away, and I'm hoping it doesn't go away, but it will evolve. I definitely think it will evolve, because right now the system is flawed, not only in sort of the eco problems of the blockchain, which that is being worked on, but also in the fact that, you know, when you're just tokenizing, you're making a smart contract that points to a URL. Mm. There's a lot of issues with that.
Mm.
If that server goes down, you're screwed. And, you know, you're thinking, you know, it gets saved in a centralized IPFS server, but, you know, a lot of times that's not what happens. And I think one of these things I think they are working on how this can be, and I think it's going to be a good thing, especially digital artists having some kind of authenticity. I think it's good, and I think it will be here to stay. So I just think it's going to go through a lot of its ups and downs, and sort of the crazy buying spree that's been happening for the last month. I don't understand how that can be sustained. Because at some point, I mean, it's already happening right now. There's how many collectors are there and how many artists? There's like got to be 10 times, 20 times more artists than collectors. At some point, they're going to be like, oh, I'm just going to go with what I know. Right? I mean, they can't research. Like I said, in one shill thread, like somebody just said, oh, you know, show me some artwork. It's like 700 posts. To that one collector, I mean, I'm just saying this is going to be, I don't know where that's going to go, but I think it'll be around. I just think it's going to evolve and it's going to go through some kind of dip. But what you said about the work, I'm down. Most people that I've talked to have had a real hard time focusing on their client work, and some have even taken, like, they've quit their job to do this, which is super dangerous, because if you think about it, you go back to that, you know, you cannot come back to that employer that whose bridge you burned. So really think twice about doing that, because it's with a sense of FOMO, right? Because you're looking at that person making 40 ETH a sale for an old painting they did.
Yeah. It's like your entire year's salary that guy made in a second. So
he's thinking, I can do that. My painting's better than that. And that person's painting might be better. But that's to you. Like, the collector may not like it. So if you don't sell anything and you quit your job, you're screwed. I would just say be really careful. I mean, take a break, sure. I mean, I can see that if you can work it out, you know, with your job or whatever. Some jobs might be understanding, but I would just say be really, really careful, like what you're talking about, like what you're doing, because we've all been distracted, you know, because of this, because of the possible payout. Yeah. Like, we're artists, you know, and we can get paid for doing art.
But come on, yeah, I mean, most people in the, at least let's talk about the concept art industry, right? People get paid for art, right? It's like not like we're not getting paid, right? So there's a certain sense of like, I think there was a meme of like all this stuff going on, but then like the drowning person is actually sitting in very shallow water, because they have a perfectly fine career. And I mean,
I think it's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Versus somebody who's making $500,000 on making some squares. You know, I think people are going, hey, you know, it's payday time. Mm. I can do this. But how many people can this really happen to?
Mm.
And I think at some point you have to be sort of grateful and thankful for what you have.
Mm.
And that, which is, hopefully a great job. It's not going to pay out like crazy. But at the same time, this can't happen to everybody.
Mm.
There's just not enough to go around. But if you really believe in yourself and you want to give it a go, I'm all for it. I'm not saying don't do it. This has just been my experience. So, I'm actually really happy being refocusing my efforts on first creating personal art that matters to me, whether it sells or not, and also focusing back on the efforts on the job and to get all that energy back to put into that. Mm. And we'll see where things go. I mean, I'm always going to be hopefully exploring the NFT world and seeing how that works.
Mm, exactly.
But when you look at like that documentary we're talking about, it really makes you look at sort of the buying and selling and the business side of the art world. Kind of it can turn you off.
Mm.
But it's very relevant to what we're, to the NFT world that we're in now. I mean, it's like a mirror.
Right. Exactly.
And I think people would gain a lot by really taking a look and asking yourself the questions. And they don't, most people don't even tell you that, at least being in the fine art world, you have an agent.
Mm. Maybe that's way the NFT world will go, right? Like that agents will pop up.
Will it? Yeah.
Curation, it might be that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it may. It may. And I think that, you know, the agent might say, well, I'll take 30% of your earnings. I give it to that person immediately because I can't, like, I don't know how to navigate. And I feel kind of slimy.
Hmm.
I don't know about you, but I feel like, oh, God, I'm telling them, I'm shilling them my thing.
I think, certain people, again, it's suited for certain people that, I mean, slimy is like, maybe it's a bit too negative, but yeah, I know what you mean.
No, I felt that.
I'm not saying that.
I mean, I just felt like, I don't promote. It goes
against you, yeah.
This is not what I do. Mm. And I'm finding out that I'm a lot more introverted than I thought.
Mm.
Because I just don't want to. I don't want to talk about my art. I just want my art to talk for itself.
But I think it's
I don't want to talk to the collector, you know. I don't want to be like, "Hey, look at me." You know, I don't want to do that.
I think it's very much it's the type of person you are, and also maybe has to do with certain part, like it's always said that, I don't know, Germans are very reserved or whatever, and Americans are more outgoing and they have that salesmanship, right? Whereas maybe in Japan you find this kind of type of person more than in Korea. You find different person, right? The Indians are more like this, the Italians are more like that, right? I think there's general like kind of differences in who is doing these kind of things better or not, and but that's fine, right?
I think it's personality more than that.
Well, maybe,
I mean,
maybe than that, I
think it's personality because, you know, I talked to another artist that's German and he's totally into the whole, you know, pitching. It's just personality. It's just personality, and the people who are really good at talking to other people, they're going to succeed more in this realm. It's just you cannot, like, I'm the guy in Clubhouse that doesn't even want to raise my hand. I don't want to talk. Come on, I don't want to talk about it. And they go, "Can you tell us about your project?" I'm like, I don't know what to say to you.
Yeah. No, like, I know that.
If you want to go look, but I mean, I don't know what to say to you. And this is, I want to state that this is all just my experience, my opinions. I'm not telling you to not do it or to do it. This is just what I found, and this is how it's hit me. And I think by now most people know who we are as people, hopefully, and they'll know that, hey, you know, this is just kind of how I am as a person. And I was very transparent, even in our NFT talk. Like, it really brought me down, and I've been down for weeks, you know, just trying to figure this out. And I finally have figured it out for myself and kind of gone back to my core, which is makes me feel a lot lighter, you know, a lot easier to deal with this, because otherwise, and I'm not the only, I've talked to so many artists who are feeling exactly the same way. They don't know what to do, and they just feel crappy because no one's stopping by their, you know, their NFT thing to buy, and it's just really hard, you know, and I feel them.
Yeah.
But I mean, at this point, I'm just like, you know, I just got to do it my way, the way I'm comfortable doing. And I think everybody has to figure out what that is for them. Because maybe some people are just love being on Twitter.
Yeah, of course. Definitely.
You know, why not?
Definitely, yeah.
You know, that's fine.
It's the dream come true.
It's just not me.
Yeah, exactly.
This
exactly.
is not me. I mean, what about you? I mean, do you...
I always struggle with that. And I think I've mentioned it many times. I really don't... There's a certain part of me that really enjoys the conversations I have with people like you, with other people, with friends over Facebook and I don't know, other means of communication. That part of social media I really like, of finding like-minded people, right? Because you don't necessarily have it in your immediate surrounding. So that's great. But the part where I need to actively go out and sell and market myself with things I know are only there for monetary gain, right? Then it becomes very difficult for me to because people say, oh, you have to be yourself, like you have to establish a brand and blah, blah, and all these kind of things, this marketing speak, I mean, this really goes against me and against what I like. But I mean, that's just, you got to do it. You got to do it to a certain degree, and you need to figure out where your limits are. And I feel like a lot of times with these NFT stuff, that's where my limit is. Like I don't like to be the pushy salesman. I don't like the ones like just like screaming like, hey, look at me, buy my shit. I don't want to be that way. There must be different ways. And maybe as the NFT market matures, there's going to be different ways of finding people's artwork that you really like. Because right now, I think one of the big drawbacks is that the platforms usually are very bare bones. They don't have enough functionality to show you the right kind of things that you want to see. I don't know if that has to be done through a better search algorithms or curation or having featured galleries. Or I don't know, right? Whatever means you can do that with. But until then, it's just like everybody's using Twitter as their search engine or as a way to find stuff. And as long as that's the case, I think I'm going to have to be very careful about what I'm going to do in this space. I don't know. But
yeah, because I personally, I'm limiting all my social media time now even more.
Yeah, it's
just because I know I can't do 6 hours of social media a day. I just can't.
Yeah, it's terrible. the last thing I wanted to talk about, and then this kind of goes a little bit back to what we mentioned before, where, okay, in the fine art world, like you don't see artists at the big art fairs. You don't see artists like during the auctioning. Like they don't attend the Sotheby's kind of auction. You don't see like, oh, we have this painting by so-and-so, and like, and here's the artist, like shake his hand or whatever. It doesn't happen, right? But so I'm wondering, right? There's a lot of questions packed into one, and it's just like a kind of just a starting off point. Like, does art need to be completely free from any monetary considerations to be deemed like true art? Or like, or is this kind of idea, this idealized idea of this idealized version of art, does that even exist, or has it ever existed? Like, I mean, a lot of the fine art, a lot of the old masters that we consider like the true greats of like that have ever lived, the most genius people, like Rembrandt or whatever, or like Klimt or whatever. I mean, a lot of the art they created were commissions from rich people. And that's the only way that a lot of these people could even live. Like there's, I think
But they were illustrators.
Yeah, I mean, for every artist, for every artist that we think like was completely free and did whatever, like that also went crazy and cut their ear off or whatever. I think there's hundreds.
Yeah, and he never saw a dime, by the way.
Exactly. I mean, they were poor, died poor. There were thousands, tens of thousands of commercial artists who had to do stuff for money. And the idea that a lot of what we esteem to be really great, fine, high art or whatever was in itself a very commercial piece of artwork that somebody just had to do to make ends meet to eat at the end of the month. So I'm wondering, like, where, again, it comes back to the discussion that we had in the beginning. What is art, right? Does it need to be free from any kind of monetary consideration to be true art? Or does good art need limitations put upon it, monetary or otherwise? Do we need a client brief to really make good art? I have no idea. That's a lot of times like what I'm throwing around in my head. I don't know. Do you have any thought on that?
I think art and money are two different things. And in this art world, you know, this fine art market, they're using the subjectivity of, you know, art is subjective. And it works perfectly for the you know, speculation that it's creating to make money. But the making money part is really purely about making money. It doesn't matter on the art. When you create art, in my opinion, when you create art, it's about your expression. That art should have been created whether you were going to make $1 million or nothing. If you can really say that this piece of art I made, I love it, I'm going to, you know, put it up on my wall, or I'm going to whatever, donate it, or whatever you're going to do, and you're happy doing it, then I think that's art. That's, you know, even badly done technically or not, it's still art. It's still a way of expressing. It's just that when you couple it with a fine art world, now you're adding artificial value to it. It's whatever they say it is. So if it's some you know, white sphere that, you know, you've made reflective because it reflects the world and what's happening around the world, whatever crap you want to spin on it, and people want to say, oh, we're going to sell that chrome sphere for $1 million because that's what it is, you know. It's all speculation, and it only really works in the art world, because if you think about it, you can't go in and say, well, you know, in the mechanical engineering world, that thing is worth that much, and we think it's good, you know. No, because the thing has to work, because it's a machine, right? If it doesn't work, it's not good.
Exactly,
and that's all there is to it. But when in the art world, it's completely subjective, and I think, because we're in this sort of, I mean, we're not artists at the beginning of all this, right? We're, you know, in our commercial jobs, we are designers and illustrators. Just like Leonardo da Vinci, he's a designer and an illustrator. He's not an artist. You think he's an artist, but he's not. The part that makes him an artist is that when he wants to, you know, he has mystique, and, you know, he paints certain things just the way he wants. So he is kind of like an artist in that sense, because he pissed off all the people who, you know, commissioned him for his stuff and wanted the paintings. And he's like, no. And he takes the Mona Lisa with him. It's not his, really. So he's a little different. But, I mean, he got commissioned, just like we're getting commissioned to do designs and illustrations. We're not getting commissions to do, hey, show me what you have inside of you. No, look, we got the spaceship we need designed. We need that keyframe, and this is what happens in that keyframe. It's very clear. So our jobs is not even, we're not concept artists. We're really concept designers or an illustrator. Because I've been asked to illustrate many, many times. I mean, there's none of this express yourself crap. I mean, it's just, don't express yourself, please. Like, just
please stop.
Just don't express. Just do what I'm telling you, because we need you to solve our problem reliably. We need that. But when it comes to the art world, for, you know, at least for your own personal art, it's whatever you want to say. Like, for me, I want to talk about disability, I can do that. You know, if I want to talk about any current events, I can do that. I can talk about whatever I want, because it's my art. And then if someone else, you know, a collector wants to put a value to that, they can. right? Because they might like my story, or like my, they might like people's story or whoever's, and then they spin something off of that, and then they sell it, and then there's a secondary sales market, and they sell it for even higher, and they all make money, you know. But that part has nothing to do with why you created art in the first place.
Good point. Yeah,
at least that's my opinion.
No, that's great. I mean, you really tie the, I mean, in the end, you tie the value of art to whether or not actually it had a function. I mean, for you, the art has a function, and the function is tightly connected to the enjoyment you got out of making it, or the enjoyment that or the meaning it has for you, right? Once it fulfilled that function for you, it kind of has its own, it takes on its own life. And whether, yeah, somebody, the monetary part is completely disconnected, whether or not, it doesn't mean that art has to not have a value attached to it to be art, right? So that's a good point. That's an interesting point of view. But yeah, I mean, do you have anything else you want to add to this discussion?
Well, I just have a couple, you know, quick points, please. Just to say what's helped me in terms of, you know, like, and this is not even advice, this is just what helped me cut down the social media time, mainly because I don't want to see what people are making on their pieces, because that pisses me off and it upsets me. It because I'm like, now I'm comparing, I can't sleep, I'm going, is my stuff not good? I don't want that. So I don't ever log on to the feed anymore. I just don't do that. I just post what I need to post. I tell all my close friends, you know, hey, if you guys need some kind of a signal boost, let me know. I'll help you. Oh, you know, whatever I can, you know, whoever's listening to me, because I care. But I can't look, if I look on that feed, it's instant death, because I'll go down that rabbit hole going, oh my God, look, what? That piece made that much? Oh my God. And then before I know it, I can't sleep.
Right.
I don't want to do that. And so I do that for the same, you know, like whatever other sites I'm on, I do the same. And it's really saved my sanity, because I don't need to see that. And it's worked for me. And I know, you know, a lot of people are still in their shilling mode or selling mode, and they want to make it. I mean, they want to make it in this space. So they feel like they need to do the work. And I think at this point, I'm just trying to be in the space and express, and I'm not caring about the money or speculation side of it. I'm just putting my best out there. I'm going to be here, and I'm going to regularly post new work, and we'll see where it goes. And it's helped me find some calm and peace in it. So I don't know if that helps anybody, but that's just what I found. I mean, do you have anything you found that works?
For me, what really helps, and I know that's not available to everyone, but having real world interaction with family, wife, kids, friends, and really step away from everything and have that real world interaction, do things that have nothing to do with this. That saves my sanity every day, every week. Even if you live alone, then please talk more to your parents or your siblings or whatever. That can really, really help, I think.
I mean, go take a walk, talk to a friend. Those things all really matter. Thank goodness I have a partner that's, you know, I'm constantly bombarding her about this. I'm surprised she's still with me, but you know, it's just one of those things where you know, just make sure that you don't just sit there and stew and just try to, oh, you know, like, don't do that. If you find that, find a way that works for you to clear your head a little bit, you know, go out on a run, whatever. Just take care of yourself mentally, because I think this stuff can eat you up. And hopefully you know, we're all in this together, really. And you know, anybody who came to me, I'm glad I told them this stuff that I'm telling everybody here, and I'll tell, you know, any way I think can help you, I'll retweet whatever, you know, needs to, you know, I'm always about helping everybody else, and I just think that just this is a not an easy thing. It could be quite a rude awakening. So just take care of yourself, really.
Exactly. Take care of yourself first, then of others. That's the way to go. Okay, that was a great discussion. Thank you so much for listening again. Please like, comment, and subscribe. Look out for the Clubhouse link. We're going to have a discussion focused on this topic. Please follow our social media accounts, both Eman's Minds and the Art Department Podcast, and you'll get the update. And we'll really excited to talk to you guys on Clubhouse as well. And then also,
yeah, let's see what everybody.
Yeah, it will be a really interesting discussion, I think. Yeah. And otherwise, we'll see you guys in the next episode of the podcast next week. See you guys. Bye.